The first inkling any occupant of Stormhouse had that something untoward was happening was the sudden, voiceless rush of booted feet on cobblestones. It was understandable that it should take at least a few seconds for anyone to recognize that sound, especially when it came out of absolutely nowhere in the middle of the darkest night of the month. The pair of armsmen assigned to the gate were reasonably alert, but they'd never actually expected to be assailed here in the middle of the Earl's own city. The idea was preposterous. And so, even after their instincts had begun to recognize what they were hearing, their brains insisted they had to be wrong. There must be some other explanation. Unfortunately, there wasn't. And perhaps even more unfortunately, Sir Corin Garvey's instructions to his guardsmen had been very clear. No one was to be allowed to raise the alarm. As a consequence, the Earl's armsmen were neutralized with a maximum of efficiency and a minimum of gentleness, while they were still trying to figure out what that other explanation was. Still, the guardsmen weren't actually trying to kill them, and both of them recovered consciousness within 2 days. As the gate guards went down under vigorously applied guard musket butts, Garvey and the bulk of his men went flooding into Stormhouse's courtyard. There was some jostling as they funneled through the constricting gate, but this was the same company Garvey had selected for the raid which had netted Adrian Wyman. By now, they'd become experts at raiding monasteries or townhouses in the middle of the night, and they'd been even more carefully briefed tonight than they'd been that night. As soon as they were clear of the gate, they spread out once more, individual squads heading for individual objectives, under their sergeants. Bishop Executor Thomas Shillair had been delighted to accept Earl Stormkeep's invitation to visit Dalitha. While he was confident of Earl Craggy Hill's security in Velena, Shillair was of the opinion that it was better to stay on the move. Allowing himself to loiter too long in any one location was too likely to give some potential informant the chance to recognize him, however secure his hiding place might appear or even actually be. Craggy Hill had disagreed, arguing that it was wiser for him to find a single, really safe hiding place. Obviously, in Craggy Hill's opinion, in Velena, and then simply stay there. If he never went out, Craggy Hill had reasoned, the chance of someone recognizing him would be non-existent. Shillair could appreciate the logic, but there were 4 telling points against it, in his opinion. First, wherever he set up his headquarters, there was going to be a steady flow of messengers and visitors in and out. It had to be that way if he was going to stay in contact with the Princedom's Temple Loyalist clergy. All that traffic was likely to draw attention sooner or later if he stayed in one place, whether or not anyone realized he himself was present. Second, he simply wasn't prepared to stay cooped up in a single suite of rooms, no matter how luxurious, for literally months on end. He had to get out, breathe at least a little fresh air, and moving about, cautiously, between the residences of the senior members of the Resistance was the best way to stay on top of the situation. Third, he was uneasy about trusting men with whom he had no personal contact. He wanted to see them, look them in the eye, listen to the firmness of their voices. And, in his opinion, it was safer for one man and his personal aide, him, to move around discreetly than it would have been for all of the others to come to him. And fourth, though he was unprepared to discuss this one with any of his secular allies, he had less than absolute faith in the selflessness of Craggy Hill's motives. For that matter, he nursed at least some suspicion about the altruism of all of those allies, which meant he had no desire to find himself as the permanent guest of, and just coincidentally, under the physical control of, any of them. His own logic was not universally accepted, yet there wasn't a great deal anyone could do about it. Chalair suspected his fellow conspirators had recognized that and organized their own schedule of invitations as the best compromise available to them, but that was fine with him. He didn't mind being managed a bit, as long as he did have the opportunity to avoid permanent incarceration. Of all of the townhouses and manors in which he'd been a guest since fleeing Manchir, Stormhouse was his favorite. It was the newest and most modern. The rooms assigned to him had a magnificent beachside view, and he loved the climate here. The soothing sound of surf helped him to sleep as well, and that was what he was doing, deeply and peacefully, at the moment Sir Corin Garvey's guardsmen put the Stormhouse gate guards into an even deeper slumber than his own. Less than 3 minutes later, however, the Bishop Executor's repose found itself rudely interrupted. Solomon Tregear, the Earl of Stormkeep, was sound asleep, snoring peacefully beside his wife, when something penetrated his slumber. Unfortunately for the Earl, while Stormhouse might not have been designed as a fortress, it was solidly built. In fact, it had intentionally been constructed with an eye towards holding down noise from the nearby city streets, especially in the Earl's personal apartments and bedchamber, and that same noise-baffling design meant the muffled sound wasn't loud enough to actually wake him. His sleeping brain roused a bit, trying to identify it, but before the fish of consciousness reached the surface of his sleeping mind's pool, the door to his bedchamber burst violently open. Stormkeep bolted up into a sitting position even as his wife screamed and clutched at the blankets.
"What the hell?"
he began thunderously.
"Earl Stormkeep," a flat, cold voice interrupted him. "I arrest you on the charge of treason and conspiracy against the crown."
Stormkeep froze, mouth still open, as he recognized that icy voice. A flood of adrenaline brought him fully awake, but his brain was still slithering across a surface of shock, like a man trying to find his feet on the surface of a frozen lake. He blinked against the light streaming from the open slides of three bullseye lanterns, and as he looked past Sir Corin Garvey, he saw half a dozen of Garvey's guardsmen and the lantern light glinting on the razor edges of their bayonets. Bishop Executor Thomas was in the midst of a dream, inspired by the surf sound coming to him even in his sleep, no doubt, of a sunny day on one of the beaches outside Manchir, when the door to his bedchamber flew open. He was also a sounder sleeper than Earl Stormkeep. He sat up, blinking in the sudden light, startled, yet too sleep-sodden and groggy to feel truly alarmed.
"What?"
he started.
"Thomas Chalair,"
a voice said, and even in his confused sleepiness, a corner of Chalair's rousing brain noticed the absence of any ecclesiastic title.
"I arrest you on a charge of treason and conspiracy."